Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 to 21. Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 to 21. Hear now the word of God. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives this morning. The main point of our text this morning is that Jesus alone not only makes a believer right with God, which is justification, but Jesus alone also makes a believer live for God in his or her life, which is sanctification. So I wish to begin today by reviewing the doctrine of justification, which is at the heart of the gospel, the good news of salvation from sin in Jesus alone. The doctrine of justification answers the question, how does one become right with God? How is one accepted by God? The Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, was trying by his own works, by his own obedience to God's law, to be acceptable in God's sight. The Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, looked at the law as a way to be right with God. The Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, thought that his own obedience to God's law was the way to be accepted by God. And then everything changed when God changed his heart. The Apostle Paul, by God's grace, discovered the real purpose of God's law. God's law exists to show us our sinfulness. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. In fact, the more the Apostle Paul, before he was a Christian, tried in himself to obey God's law, tried it himself through his own obedience to get acceptance before God, he ended up discovering that the more sinful he became. And this was Paul's testimony. In Romans chapter 7, verse 8, he said, but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. So as he was seeking by his own works and obedience to earn acceptance before God, he found the more sinful he became. Certainly he discovered that his own righteousness fell short of God's glory, as is true of all of us as sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The good news of the gospel of Jesus is that we are saved by grace in Jesus and not in any way by our own works or obedience to God's law, which means it's all of grace. Romans chapter 11, verse 6, and if it is by grace, it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. It is here that the Apostle Paul, by God's grace, realized the necessity of the incarnation that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, had to add to himself human flesh to be our substitute under God's law. And he was our substitute under God's law in two ways. First, in obeying perfectly the positive demands of God's law, Jesus, the God-man, was perfectly righteous. He never sinned once in thought, word, or deed. And second, Jesus was our substitute in perfectly fulfilling the negative demands of God's law. We know Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. We are forgiven of our sin in Jesus and also made righteous before God in Jesus. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that God made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Or as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and be found in Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Or as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, the verse right before our text this morning that Pastor Ron preached on, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. This doctrine, this biblical truth of justification, means that when I have faith in Jesus, faith alone in him, when I rest in him alone for acceptance before God, for forgiveness of my sins, God as the judge of heaven and earth sees Jesus when he sees me. Jesus is perfectly righteous. Jesus bore the full penalty of my sins at the cross. In Jesus alone, by faith in Jesus, God has established and declared me righteous in Jesus. Again, as Galatians 2:16 says in the middle of the verse, we are justified by faith in Christ. Justification means that that God the judge, it's a judicial act where God the judge of heaven and earth establishes and declares me a sinner right before his court in heaven on the basis of Jesus and Jesus alone. Which leads me to the first point in our sermon today. Please follow along with the outline that is in the bulletin. Number one, we are righteous by grace through faith in Jesus alone. Look at verse 16 and verse 21. Galatians 2:16 states, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. In verse 21 of our text today, the Apostle Paul stresses that this means that we are saved by God's grace. He says, I do not set aside the grace of God, which is what he was being accused of by the Judaizers. He wants to make it clear, I do not set aside the grace of God. So we are justified. We are righteous in God's sight by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. Interestingly, verse 16 quotes from Psalm 143, verse 2. In Psalm 143, verses 1 and 2, David asked God to deliver him from his enemies. But David knew that he, as a sinner, only deserved God's judgment. Psalm 143, verses 1 and 2 says this, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. David appealed to God's righteousness to deliver him, not his own. Psalm 143, verse 11, David said, "Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble." David knew that his own righteousness was as filthy rags, which is Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. The Apostle Paul knew that by God's grace when God changed his heart. Three times in Galatians 2:16, the Apostle Paul says that we are not made acceptable to God by our own works or obedience to the law. Our own works, our own obedience to the law is as filthy, dirty clothes before God. Clearly, the Apostle Paul did not see God's law as a way for you and I to be accepted and justified before God by our own works or obedience to it. We are accepted and justified before God by God's grace through faith in Jesus alone. Now, the Judaizers, the false teachers who the Apostle Paul condemned to hell with God's curse in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, the Judaizers knew that Paul preached salvation in Jesus alone. So the Judaizers accused Paul of promoting or encouraging sin. Now listen to this. Listen to this. This is their main false understanding. The Judaizers falsely assume that if our own works and obedience to God's law do not make us right before God, if our own works and obedience do not save us, then we have no reason to be obedient and live for God. Jesus did it all. I can live as I please. That was a false understanding and a false accusation by the Judaizers. The Judaizers accused Paul of promoting sin. In our text today, the Apostle Paul wants us to see, this is the second point of the sermon, that the Judaizers were promoting and encouraging sin, not Paul. Not the gracious gospel of Jesus alone. It's the Judaizers who were promoting and encouraging sin. Galatians, look at verse 17 and 18. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Paul wants us to see that being saved, being justified by faith in Jesus alone, does not give us, as Christians, a license or permission to sin. Now, in verse 17, sinners there, that term, it does refer back to verse 15. If you look at verse 15, we're referred to sinners of the Gentiles. Sinners of the Gentiles in verse 15. The Jews, the Judaizers, had always viewed Gentiles as sinners since the Gentiles lived outside of God's law. They were regarded as sinners in that sense. Since they thought salvation came through one's own obedience to the law. That was their false understanding. Now, since Paul had given up on God's law as a way to be accepted by God, Galatians 2:16, as we've said, the Judaizers falsely regarded him as promoting sin. The primary purpose of God's law is to show us we are sinful. We've talked about that. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. When we see God's holiness and his purity in his law, then we see our sinfulness. Then we see our sinfulness in that mirror. Think of James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. In the mirror of God's word, then we see our sinfulness. We are ungodly sinners in and of ourselves. In the gospel, God justifies the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly in Jesus. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. God justifies the ungodly. It is Jesus who is perfectly righteous. I am a sinner who is being made more and more in practice like Jesus. That's the doctrine of sanctification. But it is Jesus who is perfectly righteous, who gives me that position before God's court as justified. As we've said many times from Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 21, in a Christian's life, sin, the power of sin no longer reigns, it's no longer master, but it does remain. We still have sin in our lives. The Apostle Paul is saying in verse 17 that just because sin remains in a Christian does not mean that Christ is a minister or promoter of sin. The whole point of the gospel of justification by faith alone and Jesus alone, by God's grace alone, is that I am an ungodly sinner that God makes acceptable to him in Jesus and Jesus alone. Rather than making Christ a minister or promoter of sin, this truth of the gospel glorifies God because salvation from sin is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord from beginning to end. In justification and sanctification, salvation is of the Lord. Now, we saw in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 16, that Peter had temporarily fallen into the error and sin of using man's works, man's obedience to God's law, as a test of Christian fellowship. And the Apostle Paul confronted Peter to his face about this sinful practice. And this is what the Apostle Paul is referring to in verse 18. Look at verse 18. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. At first, Peter had the true gospel of salvation from sin through faith in Jesus alone. But then, in fear of men, in fear of what the Judaizers might think, Peter tried to build again a works-based salvation. And the Apostle Paul wants us to see that the more the law gets rebuilt as a way to be accepted or remain accepted by God, the more sinful we become. Did you hear that? The Apostle Paul wants us to see that the more the law gets rebuilt as a way to be accepted or remain accepted by God, the more sinful we become. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor, a sinner. Now, why does this happen? Paul gives us the reason at the beginning of verse 19. Third point in the sermon today. Look at verse 19. That we died to the law as a way to be right with God. For I, through the law, died to the law, he says. Verse 19, for I through the law died to the law. In other words, he died to the law as a way to be right with God. He no longer looked at the law as a way that he himself, through his own works and his own obedience, could earn or keep acceptance before God. Now let's think about this. Died to the law. Here it means that the power of sin will not reign and rule over a Christian. As we said earlier, through the law comes the knowledge of sin, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. The law cannot save. It can only condemn us by proving that we are not able to to completely and perfectly obey it. The gospel of Jesus means that I look to Jesus alone to be saved from my sin and not to any of my works or obedience to the law of God. The Judaizers were looking to the law to be saved from sin. And since they looked at the law that way, the law and the power of sin had mastery over them. But as a Christian, Paul is saying, I died to the law in the sense that I no longer look to the law as a way to be saved from sin. I look to Jesus and Jesus alone to be saved from sin. The Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, used marriage as an illustration of this truth. Now keep a finger in Galatians here, chapter 2, and turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Again, Paul is using, in Romans 7, 1 to 6, marriage as an illustration of the truth we're looking at here in Galatians. Hear now the word of God, Romans 7, verses 1 to 6. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion and has mastery over a man as long as he lives? For the woman, the wife, who has a husband, is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him, to Jesus, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, verse 1 here is the general principle that the law has dominion or mastery over anyone who is an unbeliever trying by their own obedience and works to be saved by the law. Verses 2 and 3 are an illustration and example. Marriage, then, is an example of this general principle. In the illustration of marriage, the death of the husband releases the wife from the bond of marriage. The woman is bound to her husband as long as the husband lives and is released in the event of his death. In verse 4, the marriage analogy is applied to the topic of our sermon today. Verse 4, he said, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to Jesus, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Now think about this, in this analogy. There are similarities. We are no longer married to God's law in trying to be saved by our own works or obedience to it. A Christian is now married to another, to Jesus, and is saved in Jesus alone. In the marriage illustration, the husband corresponds to the law, and it died as a way to be saved from sin. And the woman, the wife, corresponds to the believer, and with the death of the husband is free to marry another, who is Jesus. And Jesus alone saves from sin. The law cannot save, it can only condemn us by proving that we're not able to completely obey it. Jesus, who was bodily raised from the dead, so that we in Jesus have new spiritual life, bear fruit in him, which means that we as Christians now obey God by Jesus living in us by the Holy Spirit. That's what verses 5 and 6 are all about. Listen to this. This is very important. As we think about Jesus and Jesus alone saves in justification and in sanctification, we as believers in Jesus in no way think that our obedience to God's law is necessary as a way to be accepted and justified before God or to remain in that position. The righteousness of Jesus alone justifies us before God through faith alone in Jesus. In justification, we are united to Jesus. Jesus saves. God accepts us in Jesus. And the union with Jesus continues. It doesn't stop. As if you're justified and saved by Jesus, and then it's all of you next. No, it doesn't go that way. The union with Jesus continues. Jesus now lives in us as Christians. Union with Jesus in our justification before God continues on in our Christian life, in our sanctification before God. Union with Jesus is how we bear fruit to God. Union with Jesus is how we live for God. Union with Jesus provides the answer to the question, if God justifies bad people, God justifies the ungodly. Romans 4, 5. If God justifies bad people, then why be good? John Murray called union with Christ the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation. John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is the point the Apostle Paul is making in our text this morning. So please turn back in your Bibles to Galatians 2, 19 to 21. Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. The fourth point of our sermon is we are alive in Christ to live for God. We are alive in Christ to live for God. Verses 19 to 21. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, said this, by faith you are so cemented to Christ that he and you are as one person, which cannot be separated but remains attached to him forever. Did you hear that? By faith you are so cemented to Christ that he and you are as one person, which cannot be separated but remains attached to him forever. Once we are in union with Christ by faith, then everything Christ has done becomes something that we have done. Jesus loved me and he gave himself for me in every way. The end of Galatians 2:20. Jesus is my substitute before God, both in his death and in his life. In union with Jesus, our substitute, it is as if we had lived Jesus' perfect life and died his painful death. It is as if we were buried in Jesus' tomb and then raised to his glorious heaven. When you get a minute this week, read Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. By faith in Jesus, our substitute, God attaches us to the events of Christ's life so that they become part of our lives. Jesus' story, the story of the cross and the resurrection, becomes our story. The only way to get what Christ has to offer is to be united to Jesus by faith. John Calvin said this, "We must understand that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that Jesus has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value to us. But once we get united to Christ, then we get everything Jesus has to offer, especially his righteousness. When we're in Christ, God considers us as righteous as his own Son, not because we are righteous, but because we are in Christ. When Christ died on the cross for us, we died to sin, and we died to all attempts at trying to be saved or remain saved by keeping the law. When Christ rose from the dead for us, we rose a new life to live for God. God's law still stands. His Ten Commandments are still there. But the whole reason I'm seeking to live for God and be obedient has changed. I'm not in any way trying to earn or keep salvation." At the beginning of Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Paul is saying something like this: I no longer have a life of my own. The only life I have is the life that God puts into me through Jesus Christ. It's the real reason why Christians are able to live for God. The gracious doctrine of justification by faith alone and Jesus alone does not promote sin, because it's all about union with Jesus. And the union with Jesus is permanent. It promotes and encourages obedience because Jesus then continues living in us in that union. He is our energy and strength. In these self-centered times that we live in America, the Bible announces the death of self. It is no longer I who live, Galatians 2:20. The world no longer revolves around me. If you're a Christian, the world no longer revolves around you. I am no longer dominated by thoughts of my own pleasure and prestige and status. As a Christian, if I have a life at all, it is only the life that Christ lives in me. This is the mystery of Christ's indwelling presence by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Righteousness comes by Jesus, both in justification and in sanctification. Now, we are involved, no doubt, in sanctification. We must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Philippians 2:12 and 13. But righteousness comes by Jesus, both in justification and in sanctification. Verse 21 says, if righteousness comes through the law, if it comes through you and I and our own works, in our own works and efforts alone, then Christ died in vain. Paul's point is that if it is possible for us to be justified and accepted by God by our own obedience to the law, or even to maintain that justified position before God by our own obedience and works, all of our own efforts, then there was no reason for Christ to be crucified on the cross. Jesus' death would have been unnecessary and pointless. Either salvation comes through the finished work of Jesus Christ, or it comes through human effort, but not both. Paul wants us to see in our text this morning that real, true righteousness comes only by Jesus. both in our justification before God's court in heaven and in our sanctification as we are made more and more into conformity to Jesus by the resurrected Lord Jesus living in us by the Holy Spirit. John 15:5. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. As we read in our call to worship in Ephesians 2:10, we have been created in Christ Jesus for good. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's only in Christ living in us that we can perform good works. All glory goes to him. We must not fall into the false way of thinking that we are initially justified and saved by Jesus, and then it all depends on us after that. Let me illustrate this with a story from the life of Hudson Taylor. He died in 1905. He was the pioneer missionary to China. At a point in his life when Hudson Taylor was near 40 years old, he was so weakened by various missionary journeys in China that one commentator said this: Hudson had never felt so worn out, pressured, or discouraged. He clung desperately to the end of his physical, emotional, and spiritual rope. It was at this point in his life that John McCarthy, a friend of Hudson and fellow missionary in China, wrote a letter to Hudson Taylor about a new spiritual discovery that he had made and wanted to share it with his friend Hudson Taylor. So he wrote to Hudson about the way of holiness. Hudson's friend John had recently learned that the Lord Jesus received his holiness begun. The Lord Jesus cherished his holiness advancing. The Lord Jesus counted upon as never absent would be holiness complete. He went on to say, he is most holy who has most of Christ within, enjoys most fully in the finished work. It is defective faith which clogs the feet and causes many a fall. Hudson's friend John went on to write in his letter, to let my loving Savior work in me his will. My sanctification is what I would live for by his grace, abiding, not striving nor struggling, looking unto Jesus, trusting him for present power, resting in the love of an almighty Savior, in the joy of a complete salvation from all sin. This is not new, and yet it is new to me. John went on to write, how then to have our faith increased? Only by thinking of all that Jesus is and all that he is for us. His life, his death, his work, he himself as revealed to us in the Bible, to be the subject of our constant thoughts. Not a striving to have faith, but looking to the faithful one. Jesus is all we need. Arresting in Jesus entirely for time and eternity. Hudson Taylor wrote afterwards about the impact the words of his friend John had on him. He said this in a letter, as I read, I saw it all. I looked to Jesus, and when I saw, oh, how joy flowed. This indeed is what God, through the Apostle Paul, was telling the Judaizers, the Galatians, and is also telling us here today. It is the real reason that Christians are able to live for God in their Christian life. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. by God's grace, let's keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus and seek about abiding in him. The Ten Commandments exist. The Ten Commandments are binding on all, even as Christians. And yet, the only way that we can do a good deed, the only way we can obey God that's pleasing to him, is if Christ is living in us, producing that fruit, producing the good works, the obedience. He gets all the glory then. To God alone be glory. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, you are indeed great and you are indeed good. And we praise you for your grace and mercy to us in Christ. How rich and wonderful it is that salvation is of you through Jesus our Savior. Salvation from beginning to end, both justification and sanctification. We depend upon you for a right standing before your court in heaven and for also being able to live for you. Jesus is all and all. Indeed, apart from him, we can do nothing. I ask and pray, dear Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you would grant each of us as Christians this day that name you as our Savior, that we would understand that our main focus should be upon abiding in Christ, having Christ live in us, remaining fixed upon all that he is and all that he is doing and all that he has promised to do for us. Indeed, I pray in the end that we would cast our crowns before your throne, knowing that we owe all to Jesus, even any fruit, any good work we perform in the name of Christ. For it is only by him, his strength living in us, that we are able to do anything good. Indeed, you justify the ungodly. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.